Okay, Samach Dalet Amid Aleph, 5 lines from the end of the page. In the Schattenstein Gemara, is 64A3, bottom of the first column. Okay, the Mishnah was speaking about if the wife rebels against the husband, how much you deduct from the ksuba, or if the husband rebels, how much you add to the ksuba. So the Mishnah said it then like this. Until when does he keep deducting? But that's not what the Gemara is talking about. It says, we add either 3 dinners a week, and Rabbi Yehuda says, you add or deduct 3 trapikias. So the Gemara says, my trapikian. What is the definition of the word trapikian? Obviously, it's a coin, okay? So the Gemara wants to know, what is this coin that Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishnah, you add and deduct? Amar Rav Sheshet says it is called an astira. Okay, that was a, like Rashi says, a preventional seller. Gama astira, how much money is an astira? Pauga de zuz, a half a zuz. Okay? Now, there's a whole story how much is, but it doesn't matter. The tyrant coins, the other coins. The bottom line is that the Tana Kama says 3 dinners, then Rabbi Yehuda's amount is half of 3 dinners. Okay, just to know what it is. Tanya Namihochi, so we learned to the Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda says, Shloish Trapa'ikin, the 3 Trapa'ikin that you deduct, how much is it? Teisha Moin, equivalent to 9 Moors, which is Moor V'chotzi L'choyim. A month and a half per day. Okay? So, 3 trapekas and 9 mois a week. Okay? So if you have it for 7 days, it's 1.5 per day.
6 days, not Shabbos, yeah?
6, not Shabbos. In fact, the Gemara is going to ask you an interesting question now. In the Mishnah before, it said like this. How much do you deduct? So it says, Shiva Dinrim B'Shabbos. I'm just reading from the Mishnah and Tzabach Gimel. If the woman rebels, remember we learned like this. If the woman rebels, you deduct from her ksuba, X amount per week. If the man rebels, then you add to her ksuba X amount. Okay? Then it says like this. If the woman rebels, you take off Shiva Dinrim a week. Okay, that means 1 dinner per day, right? Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Shiva Terpaki'in, which is half of the amount of the Chachamim. Then it says like this, what happens if the husband rebels against his wife? So you add Shleisha Dinrim B'Shabbos, 3 dinrim in a week, and Rabbi Yehuda says, Shleisha Terpaki'in, okay?
But he has to be her.
Huh?
You said you add, he has to pay her.
Yeah, he has to add to the ksuba. Yeah. Okay? Now, the Gemara asks like this. Amalei Rechia Bar Yesed L'Shmuel. Rechia Bar Yesed said to Shmuel, Maishna'i, why is it by her, Yehivan lay the Shabbos? When we compensate the husband, meaning when we deduct from the woman's ksuba, we deduct even the day of Shabbos. Because how much do you deduct a week? It says 7 dinrim a week, which means 1 a day. Right? But for when they add, how much do you add? They said, because we don't compensate the husband for Shabbos. Because it's 3 per week, meaning a half per day. Right? So the Gemara asks like this. When the wife rebels, you deduct from the ksuba. When the husband rebels, you add more to her ksuba, right? Because people know money talks. Money, you know. So the Gemara asked, by the woman, when you deduct the ksuba, you deduct for Shabbos also. And for the man, when you add to her ksuba, you don't add for Shabbos. You only add for the 6 days. What's the difference? By the woman, we deduct for Shabbos. And by the man, we don't add on for Shabbos. Only for the rest of the week.
In other words, she's penalized and he's not.
She's penalized 7 days a week and he's only penalized 6 days a week.
Right.
So Gemara says, why? So Gemara has an interesting thing. Let me first say it outside. You're not allowed to make business on Shabbos. Correct? Now, deducting money from her ksuba is not making money on Shabbos.
Losing money.
You're losing money. When he rebels, he has to add to the ksuba. So if you're going to add him for Shabbos, she's making money on Shabbos. You're not allowed to make money on Shabbos.
You're allowed to lose money on Shabbos?
You can lose money on Shabbos, but you can't make money on Shabbos.
So what's the procedure? They have to go to Beit
Din? Well, one second. I'll tell you in a second. My answer is like this. Iyu de mafchis kapachis by her ksuba when she rebels. Well, we deduct money. It doesn't look like you're making money on Shabbos because she's losing money. She's being deducted from the ksuba. But iyu de isoifa kameisva. But by the husband, when the husband is rebellious, you increase the ksuba of the woman. So then, mechzik is chas Shabbos. Then it looks like Shabbos. That she's making money on Shabbos. Now what happens like this. The woman has a set ksuba, right? They got married. So let's say she's a psula, a virgin, so it's 200 zuz, yeah? Now, dies or divorces her, he gives her that money. Correct? That's what the normal ksuba is. Now, if the wife rebels, so you deduct from her ksuba. Instead of giving 200 ksuba, she's going to get 200 minus what you're deducting for her rebellion. If the husband rebels, the bezdin adds to the ksuba. So, let's say he rebelled a certain amount of time. So instead of her getting 200, she may get 250. And bezdin enforces it. Bezdin keeps a record. You know, it's all in Bezdin. It's all legal documents. Bezdin keeps a record how much the guy rebelled. Obviously, you need to have proof that there was rebellion from either side. If the husband rebels or the wife rebels, you have to have proof of it. So obviously, he went to Bezdin. So Bezdin keeps a chesed. So then, either the wife will get 250, or if she rebels, she might get 150.
Do you need witnesses for this?
Yeah, he will, unless the Bezdin sees it, unless they both agree, yeah. So Taisus asks a very interesting question over here. You're allowed to make money on Shabbos if it's absorbed in the week.
I just want to ask this.
The Taisus question over here. For instance, if I rent you an apartment for 30 days, yeah? So the apartment is $30. Let's say just to make it easy, right? I rent your apartment for 30 days for $30. So L'chaira, I'm making $1 a day. Why am I not making money on Shabbos? I'm making money on Shabbos. So it's not because I'm not paying daily. $30 is the whole month. So Shabbos is absorbed within the month. So it's not getting money on Shabbos. It's called Bahavlah. Havlah means it's absorbed, it's swallowed in the rest of the week. So it's not making money on Shabbos. So Taisus asks, over here when you deduct from her $7 a week, I'm sorry, you add to the husband $3 a week, the cheder is for the whole week. So why isn't Shabbos absorbed in the rest of the week? So why can't you take money for that on Shabbos? The Gemara says, why doesn't the husband have to pay more money? Because it looks like the woman's making money on Shabbos. But the pearl, it's for the week. So it should be allowed. So Taisus answers, no. Over here, it's daily. Yeah. Because, why? Because if they make up in the middle of the week, he's only going to get charged per day. Or she'll get charged per day. Right? So, therefore, it's not havlah, it's
day by day.
So, therefore, when they get money, I add money for Shabbos, so she's making money on Shabbos.
So, like, for example, could you pay a worker, like, let's say on Friday, to do something for you? Like, let's say a worker of a shul, like a person who cleans the shul or something like that. That's not considered a daily thing that you pay them on Friday to work on.
You're talking about a guy or a Jew?
A boy.
Yeah, but a guy is different.
Oh. but you're paying him.
But when you pay a Jew, and you pay him for a week, okay? you pay a rabbi, okay, in a shul, right? So are you paying him for Shabbos? You're not paying for Shabbos. You're paying him monthly, yearly, weekly, whatever it is. You're not paying him daily. You're not giving him a check every day. If you give him a check every day, yeah, it's a problem with Shabbos. Right? But you're not paying him daily. You're paying him weekly, monthly, yearly, never, whatever.
But even for a boy, to pay him, let's say on a Friday, to work on Shabbos.
It depends. It depends what he's doing. If he's allowed to do what you're allowed to do. So now the Gemara asks a very interesting question with a very strange answer. When the wife rebels, she loses a dollar a day. When a husband rebels, it's a half a dollar a day. Because it's $3 for the week, right? So it's just 50 cents a day. I'm using our money, yeah? By a wife rebels, you take off a dollar a day. And by the husband rebels, he only has to pay an extra 50 cents a day. So it seems that the woman's rebellion is worse than the husband's.
But it was $7 for the woman, $6 for the husband.
No. It wasn't. It was three. It says, seven, the wife rebels seven dinrim, or Rabbi Yehuda says seven tapikin. How much do you add if the man rebels? Three dinrim for a week, and Rabbi Yehuda says three tapikin. It's just a question in the currency. Okay, so the Gemara asks the question, Amalei Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef l'Shmuel, Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef said to Shmuel, Ma bein meirid l'meiredes? Why, when the husband rebels, it costs him only 50 cents a day? And when the wife rebels, it's a buck a day.
Oh,
I know. Huh? No, so like this. Amalei says to him, say, it's a very interesting answer. Tzei ulamad mishuk shel zeinus. Go to the prostitution place. Mi seiches mi. Who hires whom? The woman hires the man, or the man hires the woman? The man hires the woman. So therefore, her rebellion is worse. Because that the husband would pay for even. And now she's rebelling against him. So, or davar acher, ze yitzim mibachutz, the man's yitzahara is exposed on the outside. Whatever, because his limb gets bigger, so it's an embarrassment. And the woman's yitzhar is inside. So it's more embarrassment for the man than it is for the woman. So therefore, the Gemara says, because it's more embarrassment for the man, or because for the man it's a bigger thing, so the man pays 50 cents a day when he rebels, and the wife loses a dollar a day when she rebels.
Why is it more embarrassing for him?
Whatever, leave it at that. Okay. Now the Gemara says like this. Now the Gemara is going to discuss when the husband, okay, and you have it 64, okay, whatever, you can listen if you want. Normally a husband and wife live together, correct? In the same house. That's usually the way it works. But there are times in the Gemara, they live separately, and the husband supported her.
His wife?
Yeah. Yeah, he supported her. Yes, what? So now the question is, how much does he have to support her a week? How much does he have to send to where she's staying to support her? So there's a whole calculation over here. So it says like this, Amasha Sishta Yidei Sholish, if a guy provides his wife through a third party, meaning there's a house of an administrator, let's say, and he has to feed the wife through the administrator. So Gemara says like this, Gemara's going to talk about how much food you give her and how much clothing you give her and how much spending money you give her. Okay? Now, obviously, this doesn't apply today because it's a whole different cheshbon today. And the Mishnah itself is going to say this is different today. Okay. You can't give her less than two calves of wheat per week. Now, one calf is 24 eggs. 48 eggs. 48 eggs is 48 times 2. 96 ounces of wheat per week. 1 second. Or, arba kabim sa'edim. Or 4 kabs of barley. Double the wheat. Because wheat is
more prominent.
Not only wheat, it takes twice as much barley grain as wheat grain to produce the same amount of bread. In other words, wheat takes half the amount of wheat to make bread than barley does. So if you're going to give her two calves of wheat, and you don't want to give her wheat, you want to give her barley, so you have to double it, because that's how much it will take to make her bread for the week. And then it says, Rabbi Yossi says, no, you can't give a woman barley. Why? The only one that would award the woman barley instead of wheat was Rabbi Shmuel, because he lived near Edom, and over there barley was in abundance. But like this, you don't give women barley, Rabbi Yossi says. You have to give her only wheat. Then it says like this. V'naisen lo chatzi kav kitnius. You give her a half a kav of beans. Chatzi like shem and a half a lug of oil. Kav gregeris, a kav of dried figs. Or a mana of pressed figs. Okay, that's what you have to give her in the food department. So you have to give her wheat. You have to give her beans. You have to give her oil. You have to give her figs. Weekly. Vim Einlein, what happens if he doesn't have any? Many. Meaning, he doesn't have any pressed figs or dried figs. So what does he give her instead? He gives her other types of fruits. In other words, you're supposed to give her X amount of figs. So what happens if he doesn't have figs? Because it wasn't always seasonal. Then you give her other type of fruit, yeah. Now, that's how much food he gives her, okay? Now, how about bedding and clothing? So Mishnah says like this. Nice and long mita, you have to give her a bed, okay? A soft mat. Machzelis, a hard mat. These were placed on the bed instead of a mattress. Okay, so the mita, the bed, means like the actual bed, the frame. And then they would give her hard, soft mat and a hard mat to put as the mattress. V'naisen lo kippa l'reisha. He gives her a handkerchief, a kerchief for her head. She had to cover her head, right? She was married. So he had to give her a kerchief for her head. That was once a year, by the way. V'chagar l'masneha, and a belt for her loins, or some of the Rishonim say it means actually an apron. So, you know, women used to wear aprons. Omen olim, and shoes, mimayed lamayed, from yomtiv to yomtiv. Meaning you have to give her three pairs of shoes a year. Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. The kelim shel chamishim zuz mishana l'shana. And kelim here means clothes, worth $50 from year to year. Okay? We'll see what that means. Ve'neisin lol, and so not like this. So you have to give her $50. It's not dollars, it's zuz in those days, okay? You know, it's a much different thing. But you don't give her new clothing in the summer, and you don't give her worn out clothing in the winter. I mean, like this. New clothing are stiff. So they're not comfortable in the summer. Worn-out clothing is thinner, so it's better for the summer, not for the winter. The winter, new clothing are better, because they're warmer. And in the summer, thin clothing are better, because it's hotter. So the Mishnah says, when you give her the clothing, you have to give her new clothing for the winter, and old clothing for the summer.
You can only shop at Ross.
Marshalls. What does the Mishnah say? What do? You give her $50 during the winter that she could buy new clothing, and then she wears that clothing when it's worn out for the summer. Okay? She wears the worn out clothing during the summer. Vashchokim, okay, shalom. Now, when she wears, so during the winter she wears the new clothing, then she wears the worn out clothing in the summer. Yeah? Now for the winter, the husband buys the new clothing. Who keeps that worn out clothing? So the Mishnah says she does. Even though the husband's buying her new clothing, but she keeps the clothing for the worn out stuff. She can do with it whatever she wants. She can wear it if she wants, whatever. Okay? So the Mishnah discussed so far, when the husband and wife are not living together, right, what he has to give her. So X amount of food, right, X amount of bedding and clothing. And then it says like this. Naisin ma kesev letzarcha. He gives her each week a silver ma for spending money.
A silver what?
It's a petty cash. It's a little bit. It's a silver coin. Again, these are currencies in those days. So he gives her every week a silver ma for spending money. Ve'chelas imer melel Shabbos lel Shabbos. Now, here the Mishnah says, she eats with them even though they're living separate, but they have to eat together Friday night. Now, the Mefarshim differ over here. There's an argument what that means. Because normally, the time of marital relations for scholars was on Friday night. So therefore, one opinion says he eats with her Friday night means you literally eat with her and then you're together so you can have relations. Or the other opinion says, no, it doesn't mean eating with her. It means speaking nicely. You have relations with her every Friday night. Because again, she's not home. Don't forget. She's not living at home. Vim ain't like, what happens if he doesn't? This we learned already before. What happens if the guy doesn't give her spending money? Then the din is ma'isi adashala. That whatever she earns off at the side belongs to her. Remember we learned before in the Gemara that because the husband supports the wife, if she makes money, it goes to the husband. But if he doesn't give her spending money, then the earnings that she makes, whatever side jobs, she keeps. Umahi Aisala, what work does she have to do with him? Don't forget, they're not living in the same house, right? So it says, Mishkol Chameslam Shasi Biyuda. She has to spin each week, the weight of 5 sloim of warp thread in Judea, which are esesh sloim, which is equal to 10 sloim in Galilee, or mishkel esesh sloim 8 of Yehuda, or 10, the weft thread in Judea, which is 20 in Galilee, meaning like this, there are different weights in Yehuda and Galil and different amounts of the length and the, you know, when you weave, there's the strings going this way, the thread's going this way, and there's the threads going this way. Okay? So there's different amounts. Basically, she had to weave for him X amount. That's not relevant for us today because it's all different chashvan today. But she has to work for him X amount of work.
What if she has infants to take care of?
Woman. V'mhaisa menika. What happens if she is nursing? So now she needs more food. Right? Because she has to eat for the baby too. She has to nurse. Paischen lo mimaisa dal, we reduce her earning requirements. Okay? Because, what does it mean like this? She has to work with him, make the weaving for him. Yeah? So let's say, for argument's sake, it takes 10 hours to weave. But because she's nursing, and she has to spend time nursing the baby, and therefore she can't work, so less is demanded from her to work for the husband in the weaving department, if because she's nursing. And you increase the food. You have to give him more, obviously, because she needs to eat for the baby too. So in other words, again, it's very simple Gemara, just the amounts are what they used to do in the old times. He has to feed her, he has to clothe her, he has to give her bedding, he has to give her spending money, okay, and she has to do X amount for him of work. But if she's nursing, the Chumash said you can't expect her to work so much because she's busy nursing his baby that she's obligated to nurse because of the husband. But you have to give her a greater allotment of food because she needs to eat more. She's nursing. The Gemara says like this. All these amounts that we said until now, are minimal amounts if the guy is poor. Avo b'mechubad, if a guy is wealthier, then hakol afikfeid. He has to give her based on his wealth of a man like him. That means if he's a wealthy guy, he has to give his wife much more food and clothing and bedding that we learned before. This amount that the Mishnah says is the minimal amount for the poorest Jew. You still have this obligation to give your wife.
Is that about jewelry?
The woman itself is jewelry. Got it? Don't tell it to your wife, it's not going to work.
Is it important why she's living separate?
Huh?
She's living different place?
It's speaking if they did.
Doesn't make sense. Why she goes to her every Friday night and she pay everything, she does everything for her.
But, you know, at the bottom here, it brings down an interesting thing. The Mishnah is talking when they don't live together. Then it says he has to give her X amount of food. It doesn't matter what he eats. Correct? The Mishnah says, if your wife's not living with you in the same house, you have to give her A, B, C, D. Even though what you're eating is dry bread every week, and that's all you're eating. Nevertheless, this is what you have to give your wife. So now the question is, what's the din if they live in the same house? And the husband's only, he's very poor, he's only eating dry bread. Does he still have to give this measurement to his wife or not? Or does he give what he's eating? He said, listen, you're in the house with me, this is what I'm eating, this is what you're going to eat.
Well, they said by a rich person.
No, I'm saying by a poor man.
No, but it's
the... Let's go, one second. Let's go to the poor man first, yeah? The Mishnah is speaking in a case when they're not living together. Correct? So the Mishnah says you have to give a minimal of this kav and that kav, wheat and barley and the figs and the, well, okay.
I thought that was a rich man.
Not exactly. So this is the minimal. But now the Rishonim discussed though, because the Gemara doesn't discuss this. What happens if they're living in the same house and the guy is so poor that he only eats dry bread? Does he still have to give the woman these things that the Mishnah says? So he brings down over here that Rashi says, only when the husband and wife do not live together. When, however, they do live and eat together, and the husband is a poor man who eats only dry bread, he is not required to provide his wife better meals than he provides for himself.
Why?
One second, he says, that's the opinion of Shulchan Aruch. Rambam, however, appears to maintain, okay, that even if they live together, the husband still has to give this to the wife.
All that stuff?
Yeah.
What is the logic of
weekly,
Rashi?
Weekly.
They are separate. What is the logic of Rashi? If they don't live, if they live together.
I don't know, maybe he's out of town, maybe whatever.
No, no, if they live together, he said, I'm eating bread.
So that's good enough for you too.
For you too.
But the Rambam says no. That's what Rashi and Shulchan Aruch say. Rashi and Shulchan Aruch seem to imply that if you're in the same house, he doesn't have to give him more than he's eating himself. Okay? But Rambam says no. This that the Mishnah says is speaking whether they're living together or not.
And what makes that if she is separate, not the same, you have to give her more? Why? Our Mishnah is talking about they are not together. So
for whatever reason.
No, it must be reason. Why you have to pay double? A lot. Much
he snores too much. I don't know. What's the difference?
Now, if they have young children,
she's free from obligation of cooking and cleaning for him and all that.
Yeah, but she has to do weaving for him.
But at home, she works also for him.
Yeah, but then we learn she has to cook for him and do all the other things.
But that's interesting because we're not only talking about food providing for her; it's also the clothing and all that other stuff too.
Right.
He's an aniyu.
He still has that obligation.
Now, if there's small children that are staying by the mother that aren't nursing, but. Is there...
Then he has to pay for the children.
Is it the same amount, or...?
Up to... No, then you have to give whatever the kids eat. That the Mishnah's not talking about.
Right.
Huh? Yeah, the Mishnah... Yeah, child support. Yeah, but child support, when you hear it today, it means when they divorce, the child support. They were talking the obligation that the husband has to the kids. But again, in halacha, technically, it's up to the age of 6. That's it. Then the Gemara says anyway, the Gemara Bezim would force you anyway, because, you know, what are you about to go hungry? But it was an obligation the father had. This the obligation, again, we're not talking about morals or in a legal perspective, the father has to feed the children, not the mother. The father has to feed the children, not the mother.
But only till the age of six.
Yeah. But even that, that's what Beis Din forces you and goes into your property and takes away your money. Afterwards, Beis Din said, they make you do it anyway if you're able to.
What happens if he simply just doesn't have the means to provide her with all that? Can Beis Din force them?
Then, Beis Din would force him.
He'd have to get a second.
It's a biblical play. Obligation. In the Chumash, the Mishpat, Mishayda, Ksusa, Vainas, Oliyigra. It's a biblical obligation. You marry the woman, you have to take care of her. If you can't take care of her, don't marry her. Remember we said many times, in the times, in biblical times, the father married off his kid before Bas Mitzvah. Right? The father was able to marry off a 5-year-old girl, 7-year-old, 10-year-old girl. Why did they do it? What type of, today it would be called child abuse. Right? Today they do it in those Afghan countries or whatever, yeah? Okay. This wouldn't be legal in America. Why did they do it in those days? What do you think? They were cruel fathers?
Poor.
They were so poor, and they found a guy that would be able to support his daughter. But the guy that married would probably have money, be able to support. He couldn't do it. So in country, he did it out of love. It wasn't because of anything else. Right? He wanted his daughter to get supported, so he would marry her off, and the guy would take care of her. Hopefully.
And here on they do, don't even nowadays.
Yeah? Yeah. What?
At five?
No, not five, like 10, 11, 12, you know. They don't have money, they even like old, like 6.
Let me tell you the real reason. They want to get rid of the kids before they become teenagers. That's the real reason. And can you blame them? No. Okay. Okay, so now the Gemara says like this, yeah? Mani Masnisin, the Gemara says, whose opinions are Mishnah? Because what it's going to bring down is Lochay, it's not Rabbi Yechonim and Breika, and it's not Rabbi Shimon. So we're trying to find out what, we learned in our Mishnah what you feed and what you don't feed and all that, yeah? Two calves a week of wheat. Remember we learned at the beginning of the Mishnah? So Gemara says, who says that? And we're trying to find an opinion that says it, because we find opinions that oppose that. So Gemara says, Mani Masnisa, who's our Mishnah go like? So it says, Loi Rabbi Yechon ben Breika. It can't go according to Rabbi Yechon ben Breika, which the Gemara is going to quote soon. Loi Rabbi Shimon. And it can't go according to Rabbi Shimon. Why not? So the Gemara says this. For Kama, the Tram, we learned in the Mishnah, Kama Shi'uri. How much, this is not about marriage. How much, you know, you need to make an Erev Tchumim. You know what Erev Tchumim is? You're only allowed to walk up to 2,000 cubits outside a city, right?
On Shabbos.
On Shabbos, yeah, good point. On Shabbos. Yeah. What happens if you want to be able to go more? So you put food down in a certain place, like almost by 2,000 amos. And because a person's mind is where their food is, so it's like you're standing there. So therefore, Shabbos, you can walk another 2,000 amos. Okay? So the din, you have to put down food. So now the Gemara is discussing how much food, or a little raisin with a little peanut, I mean, how much food do you need to put down that for an eid of tchum, that's to be substantial food. So it says like this. Kama shiuri, what's the measure? So the measure says like this. Mazen shtei sudas sechol echad ve'echad. Whoever wants to use the eid of, let's say three people want to use the eid of, yeah? You have to put down two meals for each of the persons. If there's three people, you have to put down six meals. Mezayna lechayil, it refers to a person's weekday meals, and the Gemara is going to explain in a second. Okay? V'loy l'Shabbos, and not for Shabbos. Now, meaning like this. Let's say you want to put down bread. Okay, it's a very interesting stamma concept the Gemara is talking about. Let's say you want to put down bread. How much bread do you have to put down? Two meals worth. But Rav Meir, the first opinion says, that's your weekday meal, not your Shabbos meal. Because according to Rav Meir, it's interesting. According to Rav Meir ate more bread on Shabbos during the week. And Rav Yehuda ate more bread during the week than on Shabbos. This is what I was going to explain in a second. Rav Meir, factually, ate more bread on Shabbos than he did during the week. Why? There were more courses on Shabbos, and each course he ate bread. So Rav Meir physically ate more bread on Shabbos than he did during the week. Rav Yehuda, on the other hand, Rav Yehuda Gemara is going to, the Mishnah is going to say, he ate more bread during the week than on Shabbos, because Shabbos there was other food to fill you up. So Rav Yehuda ate more bread during the week than on Shabbos. Okay? So Rav Meir says, when you're talking about bread for two meals, we're talking about not the Shabbos meals where Rav Meir ate more bread. Rav Meir says, two bread for a weekday meal. That's how much bread you need for the Erev. Rav Yehuda Eimer, no. The Shabbos, it has to be two meals for Shabbos, v'lo l'chil. And the Gemara says like this, they're not really arguing. Zev is them, miskaven l'hokel. Both want to be lenient. In other words, you have Shabbos food, bread, and you have weekday bread. So whichever one is the least of the two is what you have to put down for the Erev. So that Meir who ate more bread on Shabbos than during the week, he says you have to put down bread for two weekday meals, right? Rabbi Yehuda, who ate more bread during the week, so he says you have to put down two bread for Shabbos meals, the lesser of the ones. Okay, now he says like this. That's what Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda say. Comes along Rabbi Yechon ben Breika and says like this. Kikar alokuach bepundyim mi'abeson l'selam. You know how much bread you need to put down? How much bread you could buy for a pundin when four saw of grain are purchased for a seller. Okay, bottom line is, Rabbi Yechon ben Breika says, a loaf of bread, which is 12 eggs, which is enough for two meals. Okay, again, it's not relevant the amounts today, because it's different amounts anyway. Rav Shimon Aymed, Shtei yodas nekikah mishalosh kikah sekav. Two parts, meaning two-thirds of a loaf, which there are three to a kav. Chetzia lebeis ha-menuga. Half of it is a measure for contaminating one's clothes. In other words, like this. Food can make clothing tamei. But you need to have a certain amount of food that's tamei to make another thing tamei. So it's not relevant to what we're actually discussing. Gemara's talking, half of it is an amount to make clothing tumah. V'chatzi chetzia, and a half of a half, meaning a quarter of a loaf, lifsos a gvia, to render the body disqualified for truma. V'chatzi chetzia chetzia, and half of a half of a half, meaning an eighth, is the kabel tumas echlin to get tumah. Meaning like this. According to Rav Shimon, one egg of bread is enough. According to Rav Yechon and Ben Breika, it's also much less. Okay. Now, according to Rav Yechon and Ben Breika, it's six eggs. According to Rav Shimon, it would be one egg. Okay. Bottom line is, so how much bread is a meal? Either one egg or six eggs, right?
The size of one egg or six
eggs. Yeah, but that's not what our Mishnah says. Our Mishnah says a half a kav is more than that. So, according to Rabbi Yechon and according to Rav Shimon, it's not the amount that our Mishnah says to give it two kavs a week. Okay? Because two kavs a week, especially if you don't cut, even if you don't cut Shabbos, is a different amount than Rav Shimon and Rabbi Yechon ben Breika say. Of how much you have to give him. So the Gemara says like this. So, in other words like this. So now the Gemara explains it. Okay? If you want to say our Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Yechon ben Breika, then, according to him, that the two meal Erev is one half kav, Tamya Mahave, two kavs are only eight meals, and she needs 14 meals. Meaning like this. Okay, this is just we're going to go through it quickly. It doesn't matter. I have to figure out all the mathematical things here. A woman needs to eat 2 meals a day. Correct? Yeah? 2 meals a day is what normal people eat. Not in America, we eat 3 meals a day plus. 2 meals a day. Shabbos, you have 3 meals. That's what's unique about Shabbos. You have Shalosh Shudas, right? The third meal. But during the week, they had 2 meals a day. Now, according to Rabbi Yechim Ben Breika, his calculation of a meal will come out that it will be only 8 meals a week. According to Rabbi Yechim Ben Breika, how much a meal is, then the woman would only be getting 8 meals a week, and when she really needs to get 14. Correct? And according to Rabbi Shimon, Temnes Re'ari has 18 meals, and she should only be getting 14. In other words, according to their calculations by Erev Tchumim, it will come out according to them that according to Rabbi Yechim Ben Breika, the woman would be getting 8 meals a week instead of 14. And according to Rabbi Shimon, she would be getting 18 meals a week instead of 14. So it's either way above or way below. So according to them, our Mishnah doesn't make sense. Because our Mishnah says this amount is enough for 14 meals. Right? And according to them, it's either 18 or 6. So it's way off. So he says like this. It's really Rabbi Yechim Ben Breika. If it's according to Rabbi Yechim Ben Breika, she only has 8 meals instead of 14. He says, Kiramer Rav Chista, Tzei Mehen Lechem V'ni, deduct from the grain 1/3 for the shopkeeper's profit. Like he said in a different case, Hacha Nami in our Mishnah, bring 1/3 and add it to the 8 meals of your original calculation. Meaning like this. According to him, the storekeeper gets a certain profit when he sells the bread. So when you add that 1/3, he says there's 1/3 that the storekeeper makes profit. When you take 8 meals and add 1/3 to it, it's going to be 12. So you might as well say, but according to that, it's 12 and it's supposed to be 14. You're still off. Right? If you take 1/3, you take 8, and that, what's 1/3 of 8?
Almost 3.
Okay,
2.75.
The 2 meal loaf contains only 2/3 punyin. Compare the guy shaving meals to 2/3 of the meals. So, you add another 1/3, okay? So then it'll come out to be 12 meals instead of 14. So you're still off. So Gemara says, okay. So he said, but Echeles Imei
v'Shabbos. Are they not count Shabbos?
Okay. So he said, but she eats with her husband on Friday night. So therefore, she doesn't need those 2 meals on Shabbos. Because Friday, the second meal of Friday is the Friday night meal she's eating with the husband. Right? So then it wouldn't be too bad. But the Gemara says, no. Because in our Mishnah, when the Mishnah says she eats with him Friday night, we said there's two opinions. Doesn't mean eating, or doesn't mean relations. So, hey, Nicha, that's only good if you say eating means eating. So then the extra meal she getting with the guy together with the husband Friday night. But if you say eating means marital relations, and also then, it's only going to be 13 meals, not 14 meals. Even if you count the Friday night meal, it's still going to only be 13 meals, not 14. So, it doesn't make sense. So Gemara says, like Rav Chista said somewhere else, say me a machzel chavini. Okay. Another place, Gemara is going to ask Rav Chista contradicts himself. Another place Rav Chista says, you have to leave not 1/3, half for the storekeeper. So you have 8. Okay. Half of 8 is 4. Correct?
What are you leaving with the storekeeper?
Profit. So he says like this. In other words, that's including the storekeeper's profit. So basically she's getting more anyway. So instead of 8 meals, Gemara said before it was 1/3. Then it'll come out to be 11 or 12 meals. But if you say it's a half, the storekeeper's profit, then half of 8 is 4. If you add the 4 to the 8, then you got 12, which is six meals twice for the 6 days, and Shabbos she eats with the husband.
So before we took 14.
That's including Shabbos.
Oh, that's okay.
I'm glad there's no test on this. It's very confusing.
But this is just simple, the mathematics to figure out.
Economics, you know.
No, because when he says a kav, how much is a kav? How much is it the money? You have to just figure out this. It's like pounds and ounces, so if we use pounds and ounces, it would be easier. Or metric system, whatever. You know, but there, the Gemara is using their measurements of a kav. How much is a kav? How many this, a big and that. So the Gemara just says, according to your calculations, it doesn't make sense. Because according to Rabbi Yechon ben Breika, bottom line is that you need to have the whole calculation is the 2 meal Erev is a loaf costing punyim while grain sells. At this point, the Gemara understands that this amounts to half a kav. How? A seller is 4 dinars. A dinar is 6 ma. A ma is 2 punyans. So there's 48 punyans. And that means just the mathematical coin currency going on. So that's it. I mean, but this is the bottom line. The Gemara answer can go contra Rabbi Yechon ben Breika. Okay? Because he says it's 8 plus another 4 for the storekeeper's profit. So then that's the 12 meals that she gets a week. But the Gemara says, Kasha, Rav Chista, Rav Chista. But now the Gemara says, very simple. Okay, this is back down to earth. The Gemara says, Rav Chista contradicts him. One time he says a third for the storekeeper. And in another place, he says a half for the storekeeper. So which one is it? Is it a half or a third? He's contradicting himself. So the Gemara says, no, it's interesting. Haba Astra, the Yarvit Sivi, if it's a third, is where the grain merchants give him the wood needed to bake the bread. Then it's a third. If they don't give him wood, then the storekeeper gets 50% instead of 33 and a third. In other words, Rav Chista's are very simple. I'm not contradicting myself. In a place where the grain people, the grain owners, give the shop owner to bake the bread, they give him the wood. So now obviously because they're paying for the wood, his profit is less. It's only a third. If they don't give him wood, then he has to pay his own wood. So therefore the profit is 50%.
To mark it up 50%.
Yep. So now the Gemara says, 1 minute. If the guy has to give him that amount, so the Gemara says, L'cheda, Yachi Shitzra Haven, then it's 16 meals instead of 14. So the Gemara says, like Rav Chitke, this is interesting, Rav Chitke. Rav Chitke holds, it's brought down in Alocha, even though we don't paskin like him. Arba Sudas Chayav Adam Lachol B'Shabbos. Rav Chitke says a person has to eat 4 meals on Shabbos. No, on Shabbos. Because he says you have to eat 2 meals a day, is 6 days times 2 is 12, plus 4 meals on Shabbos is 16. That's the cheshbon of 16. So the Gemara says no. Afilu tem rabbanin. You can even say it according to the rabbanin. I is supposed to be, what's it? Dal chado la'archi uparchim. He says like this. The woman needs 15 meals a week, but the husband has to give her 16 meals a week. Why? In case guests come.
Well, remember, which Tana says that 16 meals a week?
Rav Chitke.
Oh, he's a Tana?
Yeah. But the Gemara says, how could that be? I mean, the Halach is not like Reb Chitke. So the Gemara answers, no. It could even be according to the Rabbanan, but in other words, like this. Really she needs, 15 meals per week. But the husband has to give her 16 in case guests come. Because she can't have a bad, you know, the guy comes to the woman and says, no, I have no food for you. She doesn't look good. And the husband doesn't want his wife to look bad in the eyes of people. So he would, they would obligate him to give her 16 meals a week. 15 for herself. Why? 2 meals a day for 6 days. correct?
Three on Shabbos.
It's 15. Plus one extra meal in case guests come. And the Gemara says, now, according to this, you can even say, according to Rav Shimon. Why? According to Chomim, that you need to eat three meals on Shabbos, so she needs 15 meals for herself, deduct three for the guests, and therefore that's why she gets 18. Remember, the Gemara says, according to Rabban, she should be getting 18 meals. Right? And the Mishnah says only 14 and 15. So it says, no, because you have, according to Chomim, you have to give her three meals for guests. And Rav Chitka, only two meals for guests. So basically, the Gemara says that our Mishnah, that says the woman gets the 14 meals a day, right? Plus the 15th meal.
A week,
right? Either includes three meals for guests, or two meals for guests, or whatever it is. So it comes out the cheshbon of how many meals she needs to eat during the day. Okay, so now the Gemara says like this. And the Mishnah says, if you give her two calves of wheat, which is four calves of barley. Remember we said it's double the amount of barley to make bread like you would from wheat? Okay. So it says, Amar Rabbi Yosi. So Rabbi Yosi said in the Mishnah, that's only for Rabbi Shmuel who lived near Edom. Right? So the Gemara said, question 1 minute. You tell me only Edom eats barley, nobody else eats barley? I mean, everybody eats barley. Right? Even though the Gemara says,
you put it in the
chola. Yeah, well, it's a bunch of behemoths. The Gemara says wheat is the food of people, barley is the food of animals. But Lebel, everybody eats barley. So the Gemara is asking, why does Rabbi Yosi say it's only Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Shmuel, who lived by Edom, and therefore they ate barley. The Gemara says, what do you mean, nobody else eats barley? So obviously, there has to be a measurement of barley. So he says, very simple. He says like this. When do you need double barley for the wheat? What did our Mishnah say? Two calves wheat, which is four calves barley. I mean double, right? So Gemara says, that's only for the Bishmol Shay Yisamach L'Edim. Why? Sa'edim Adomius Royasim. The Edomite barley was very bad. So then you need a double barley for wheat. But in places where barley was good, you didn't need double barley for the wheat. In other words, according to Rabbi Yosi, when our Mishnah, not the Chachamim hold, two calves wheat, which means or four calves barley. Double. So Rabbi Yosi says no. Double barley of wheat is not universal. In Edom, where the barley was rotten, so then you had to give a double barley for the wheat. But the rest of the world where barley was not that much worse than proportionally, you have to give her how much barley equals two cobs of wheat.
Do they use the barley also to bake bread? I mean, or do
they
use
beer? Beer.
No, beer.
No, barley they used to bake bread.
To bake bread, yeah.
Listen, when you need to eat matzah, right? Pesach.
Yeah.
So you can have it from five species.
Right.
Wheat, barley, rye, oat, and spelt. So barley, they made beer. That's why beer is chometz.
Well, they said bread.
No. They made bread, but he said they made beer. Everybody thinks what they,
Okay. It's their background.
Yeah, some people drink beer, so they think about barley as beer. But in other words, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yosi says, it's not necessarily double barley for wheat. That's only in Edom you need a double barley for wheat. Maybe it would be a third or whatever. One thing was for sure. If you're giving her barley, you have to give her more barley than wheat. The first opinion of the Mishnah says you have to give it double. And Rabbi Yosi says, no, double is only in Edom where it was rotten barley. But otherwise, you don't have to give double. Ahem. Okay, so now the Gemara, who asked the question about wine? Drinks.
Last time.
Huh?
Last time.
Okay, we'll leave it here. The Gemara is going to ask a question, why doesn't the Mishnah say you give wine? Why say you don't give wine to women?
Only if she has
to be continued.